If you would, we're going to continue with what we began this morning. So if you would, return with me to Matthew chapter 8. And I'll remind you that what we were doing this morning really was building a theology of mission. A theology of the mission. And we made some rather pointed statements. And I said this evening I would try to close some loops or build in and fill in some gaps. And that's what we hopefully will do this evening. I'll remind you that we said it is Christ who reigns, Christ who sends, and Christ who will accompany us on the mission of the church. And the mission has been that glorious truth that has been set in stone, if you will, in eternity past, that God would have a people to himself, that he would be our God, in that we would be his people through his son, Jesus Christ. And really what we've been talking about is the collection of the elect. Those chosen in eternity past, in which the Son promised the Father that he would take on flesh and go and live a perfect sinless life and to keep the law in its entirety. And not only that, pay through his death for our transgression, for our sin, and not only that, justify us through his resurrection, that as he calls those people to himself, those chosen people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, that we would be reminded that it's Christ who reigns, it's Christ who's the King of Kings, it's Christ who sends us on that mission, and it's Christ that above all will accompany us on that great mission. So what we're doing is we're building a theology of the mission. And this evening, as I said before, what I would like to do is just fill that out a little bit. And we're going to return to that text in Matthew 28. We'll look at verses 16 through the end of the chapter. But it's with that question in mind that I still continue this night. Did you think this afternoon at all about the question, when did the mission become missions? When did God's mission become what is known today as missions? Again, we'll read Matthew chapter 28. We'll begin in verse 16 and read to the end. I remind you that this is the Word of God, and it would serve us well to pay careful attention. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. This afternoon. My mom's in town, so I'm a little worn out. I don't really know what day it is. But I want us to continue, as I said, building our theology of mission. I want you to understand as we began this morning that what we're saying is that mission, the mission flows from God's heart for the nations. The mission in which God has given to the church flows from God's heart for the nations. God is Lord of all, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. From Genesis to Revelation, Scripture declares his desire, as we have said, to gather people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, every island, every city. God has so ordered it that he has chosen a people to himself. And we await that glorious day in which the last chosen individual comes to saving faith. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords returns triumphantly to gather all those together who are his. And we've seen that is so from Genesis to Revelation. Moreover, the church is God's plan, really, for global missions. This is what I kind of want to impress upon you this evening, if you'll let me. I would love to see Roebuck have a global vision for missions. I would love to see many churches be transformed in their theology of mission and see that it's the centrality of the local church that drives the true mission. And the church is God's plan for global missions. You see, it's not mission agencies or celebrities, but the local church God has called to advance the mission. And God uses ordinary churches, as one has written, for extraordinary global impact. Isn't it awesome? You guys partner with our ministry, Christians Teaching Christians, that actually you are advancing the mission in Shakapura, Pakistan, Rajamahundry, India, and many countries in Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Malawi, all over the world. That you actually do, whether you know it or not, have a global mission impact as you partner with us, Christians Teaching Christians, in advancing the mission of the church. The church is God's plan for global missions, and He uses ordinary things like us, ordinary people like me, small little churches like Roebuck. Far too often we think missions is left to big agencies. Samaritan's Purse, great, great ministry. Name any other big mission organization, right? And we think that that's pretty much for them. But it's not. As we study Scripture and tear Scripture apart, and Scripture tears us apart, we see that the mission of God has been given to the local church. And He uses broken, ordinary means like you and me to accomplish that marvelous purpose of His in bringing others from death to life. Those He has predetermined to come to saving faith in eternity past, He uses us as secondary causes to fulfill that great purpose. Now that's glorious. My question this evening to you is this. Is that the kind of vision you have here locally? You see, global missions begins locally. What mission, or how are you partnering in the mission here in this community? In Spartanburg County, in the state of South Carolina. How does Roebuck partner, if you will, or participate, not partner, participate in its glorious call in the mission of God Himself? It's not just for those other people over there. Those people with all the money and all the things and all the... No, that's not how God usually works, is it? And we're so thankful, I am so thankful, that He uses just ordinary people like me and small little churches like you to have a tremendous impact around the world. And we should be thankful and mindful of how God intends to use us in that way. Worship is the end goal of the mission. Worship is the end goal of the mission. We don't go merely for converts. We go for worshipers of Christ. You see, that's why, as we talked about that great scene, remember in Revelation this morning, we talked about that great scene when all those from every tribe, tongue, and nation are gathered around the throne of God singing His glorious praises. You see, you are involved in the mission because God has brought you into that mission. You are the mission. You are you are proof that the mission is so. As God has brought you from death to life and has called you to give yourself unto Him to bring others from death to life. And we see this over and over and over again in Scripture. But let me say it again. Every local church should care about the mission. And I'm working real hard, those of you who know me well, I'm working real hard to change your idea from the idea of missions to the mission. And I'm doing that, and I'm seeking to do that deliberately. You see, your church, as someone has written, doesn't need to choose between being faithful and being globally engaged. Faithfulness includes being globally engaged. Question, are you faithful? Is Robot faithful? Am I faithful? Additionally, I wanted tonight to define what is, quote unquote, missions. Now I'm playing on words here. But what is missions as we see it today? Well, we see it one way, but I'd like to define it this way. Here's a working definition of mission. The mission is the effort of the church to glorify God by making disciples and planting healthy churches where Christ is not yet known. Let me say that again. The mission is the effort of the church, oh, you and me, to glorify God by making disciples and planting healthy churches where Christ is not yet known. What's your definition of the mission? See, we see the centrality of the local church as being paramount in the fulfillment of the mission. As Scripture unravels from Genesis to Revelation, we see God calling a people to Himself. Those people being redeemed through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son. God's establishment of the church, making His Son the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of that church, His bride, that way He purchased with His own blood. And then we see Him incorporating that church that, remember, does not replace Israel, but is the fulfillment of Israel's role in the mission, working that mission out as He reigns and sends and accompanies us on that mission. What do you see as your role? How do you define mission? We need to distinguish the mission from other good works. Relief work, good work, it's not the mission. Education and medical aid, they're valuable but are not the mission unless it's tied to the gospel proclamation and church planting. It's works of mercy. The mission must always be tied to the gospel in the church itself. This is one of the things we continuously struggle with in our ministry. We fight hard to keep the mission the mission. As we work with individuals who haven't eaten for 7-8 days. As there's orphan after orphan after orphan. As there's starvation, suicide. All kinds of things all around the world. Healthcare needs beyond belief. Monthly I probably receive, I don't know, 30 calls, emails, texts, something. I need this, I need that, I need this. And it's so easy for the church to get bogged down in relief work. All good and necessary, okay? Don't misunderstand me. I don't want anybody to walk out of here and say, well, he says don't feed the hungry people. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying not at the expense of the mission. Not at the expense of the proclamation of the gospel and the establishment of the local church. You see, if people come to saving faith and the church is erected in places like Sierra Leone, Nigeria, Rajamahundre, if it's truly erected and Christ is King, the rest will take care of itself. Somebody should amen that.
Amen.
Because it's from the church that flows. So you see, the goal is the establishment of solid biblical churches around the world in which believers like you and me take care of each other for the glory of God. And you want to talk about relief? We're talking about relief from eternity in hell. Starvation is just for a season. Now, I know, we can all laugh. I'm not starving. I get it. I don't know what it is to starve. And I don't make light of this. I've seen some unpleasantries all around the world now. But my heart yearns and burns more for their eternal state than it does for their physical state right here and now. And somewhere along the line, we kind of lost that, didn't we? We kind of lost that. And we kind of sat back on our laurels as the local church. And we sat back on our laurels and we said, well, we'll send a little bit of money and feed the hungry people. You know, you can actually generate more money if I put a little kitten on a television and said, won't you help us? This kitty is homeless, and there's so many of them, and it only costs you, Mike, 10 cents a day to feed these cats. Right? Well, me either, but so that's why I use it. But the money pours in, doesn't it? The money pours in. And it pours in from people like you and me. Because we think we do something, but yet when someone says, what do you do? David, what do you do? I take the gospel and I plant churches. Oh, that's nice. Now, you're all my friends here sitting tonight, so I'll just full disclosure. I'm not looking for your money. I'm just trying to change your philosophy of mission. Okay? So just like me not feeding the hungry, don't go out here and say I was looking for your money, because I'm not. I'm looking for your heart for the mission. And I think we need to return to that in more ways than one in the church. So we need to distinguish the mission from other good works. We need to focus on the unreached. Missions targets places where Christ is not yet named. Now, I include in that from Romans 15:20, I include in that where Christ might have been, if you will, named, but named improperly. You understand what I'm saying? Misrepresented. That the gospel really wasn't, the true gospel of Jesus Christ wasn't shared. But we need to target these places. And you know, if we were honest together with each other right now, we would have to conclude that there's places right here in our own country we need to do that. There's places right here in our own county that we ought to be more mission-minded than we are. That we should engage more actively in what God has called us. So our focus is on the unreached. We prioritize the gospel, access among the unreached. That's something we should consider. We need to prioritize better gospel access among the unreached, not simply that a good mission is a mission that just goes and reaches undeserved people, quote unquote, right? But no, we should seek to go where God calls us to go, taking the gospel to all. He is so determined. Now, the goal of the mission is, again, the local church, not just converts. Long-term fruit comes through planting and strengthening churches. And I believe churches could grow stronger here in the States if they become more globally oriented. That we can become stronger as brothers and sisters as we seek to participate in the mission globally. We've worked real hard the last year and a half to get our guys to think globally. They suffer from the same problem we do. They only see about 3 inches in front of their own nose. Right? My needs, my area, what I have to have right now. And we've worked diligently to try to get them to see their brother, or their brother on another continent, their brother in another country, a couple thousand miles away, to see that God is calling a people to himself from every tribe, tongue, and nation. We were talking today Jay Paul, as you know, we kind of adopted Jay Paul, and he's going to finish his third year this year. So I want you all to pray for him this week. He's got four exams, and he has to finish a paper. And I'll let you know how his grades are, because I see them all. He doesn't know that, but I see all of his grades. But I'll let you know how he's doing. But Jay Paul's finishing up his 3 years. And I got a brother, a son in the faith in India. And I have sons in the faith in Pakistan, and they're bombing each other right now. Or they were bombing each other. But they're both tense because they don't know what's coming next. And they both believe something is coming next. The something will, quote unquote, from my little Indian buddy, pop off. And it'll be ugly. And we were talking at home, and I said, listen, one thing we have to remember is this. We have brothers and sisters in both countries. There's good people in Pakistan. There better be at least one good man in India. There's good people in Nigeria. We have brothers and sisters in Malawi. We have people being held captive right now and tortured and abused because they share our faith. But we got to think globally. And not globally in the sense of relief. Because this is where our theology of missions becomes very important. Either God's in control or He's not. Either God's ordained all that comes to pass, whether I like it, you like it, she likes it, or you like it. God is in control. He's sovereign. He's the first great cause of all things. And when He's not, somebody tell me, because I'm changing professions, I want God to be the first cause of all things. I want Him to be the first and the last. So we trust in what He's doing, and we do our part in the mission. But the mission is the saving of the lost, the building up of the body, and the establishment of the local church. Remember the goal. In the end, that we would all bow down and worship Him. That's the goal. The goal is not feeding people. It's not getting medical attention to people. Good things. Good things. And we do them. But my prayer for you and for me is that we would keep the most important thing of all, the thing of most importance, and that's the glory of the triune God in calling a people to Himself. So think globally. This is my last Matthew 28 sermon here for a while. And I swear, if I'm invited back next week, I'll change the topic, but I wanted to finish that this evening. Because my desire is to change the philosophy of many when it comes to the mission. And call us again back to the thing of most importance. The glory of God in calling a people to Himself. Amen? Our Father, our God, we thank You for this evening. I thank You for this body here, Lord. And I do pray that they think globally, and I think they do. But Father, give us eyes to see what You're doing. Let us see the big picture. Let us hold on to that hope that doesn't disappoint. That in this world, we know we'll have many troubles. Sickness. Hunger. Financial struggles, and even death. But Lord, we know that in Christ we're more than victorious over all of it. And it's only through Christ and in Christ that we are. Give us hearts to think globally, and we pray that You would begin here locally. For the sake of Christ and crown,
Amen. If you would now, please take your hymnal and we'll sing our closing hymn, number 445. Bring them in. Fitting. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Please stand.